Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. Buenas tardes. Thank you so much for joining our first Milk and the Meat podcast. I'm Savannah Jessup.
And I'm Reagan Hill. We are actual sisters from the same womb. I know it doesn't look like it. Promise she's not adopted.
I think. As far as I know, we're in the clear. But anyways, we're super excited to start this podcast and share with you the things that we find are really important that we want to discuss. There's a lot of topics out there that get overlooked or misunderstood. We kind of want to see what more we can dissect together. And so our first topic today that we had a poll on yesterday about is the spirit. We asked you guys what questions you had on the spirit, and we had some great questions that we're going to get into.
And we really wanted to start with the spirit because you need the spirit to be able to find the truth in anything, whether it's the gospel, life, whatever it is, you need the spirit to guide you through your everyday life. So that's why we're starting with this, so that you can keep this throughout our podcast, throughout everything, and just know that you can find truth and it is out there and God will help you with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably my favorite part about the spirit is that, like Reagan said, it doesn't just apply to the gospel. Like, it applies to dating, to education, whatever your tests are. And we everyone knows there's so much confusion out there and people are just fighting for your attention. So whatever we say, we don't want you to take our word for it, to truly discern everything out of everyone's mouth by the spirit. It will change your life. That's what spirit's there for, right? Yeah.
And we're going to try to share like who the quotes are from and where we get the scriptures from and everything. But if for some reason we forget, feel free to ask and we will send that to you. That way you can like fact check us and see where it's from and where what the scripture means and where it's at. Then we're not just making it up. But yeah, well, let's get started. So the first questions that we had from you guys, we got two people that really wanted to know what's the difference between your own thoughts and the spirit. And while we are going to cover that, we're going to do that more towards the end. We do have like a little exercise. I promise it has nothing to do with like squats or jumping jacks. but it is an exercise that honestly is so amazing. We learned it from someone who was once a institute teacher. He's amazing and really liked the exercise that he put together. And me and Sven actually tried. It was seriously so good in helping you to be able to understand the difference between the spirit, your own thoughts, and honestly, the adversary as well. And so stay tuned for the end. We will tell you what it is, but we first just wanted to go over like the spirit and the role that it plays in our lives so you can really make sense of it and be able to apply it and know how it's going to work in your life. There's a few like quotes that we wanted to share or things we want to share right before we get into it, just to emphasize the importance of the spirit.
Okay, so the first quote that we're going to share is from the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. His name is Russell M. Nelson. And he answered this question when he stated that in coming days, it will not be possible to survive spiritually without the guiding, directing, comforting, and constant influence of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, so that's like a bam, wow. We need the Spirit and guiding us in our lives. And then one thing that I wanted to share is something that I learned from Elder Bednar, someone who is one of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I learned this on my mission. During that mission, we got to have like a FaceTime, we probably used Skype at the time, with Elder Bednar. So we just got to ask him questions. And it was really cool. Before he let us ask questions, he kept saying, "Here are the things that I've been heard but not said." And I was like, that literally makes no sense. Like, what do you mean by that? but I just like kept thinking about it. And really, it's just hearing the spirit. Like when somebody's giving a talk, or it doesn't even have to be a talk, whether it's in church or Sunday school or whatever. Like, you can just be hearing things from the spirit that will guide you in your everyday life. Honestly, at random times. I feel personally it most often comes at church because the spirit is so prevalent there, or when I'm studying my scriptures or praying. But it literally can come at anytime.
And honestly, it doesn't really even have to do with whatever the speaker said. It can just, whatever they said, instigate the thought that the spirit puts in your mind for you to take action on.
And one of the stories that Elder Bednar shared was that whenever he's studying a topic in the scriptures, he'll take like a blank Book of Mormon, you know, like the flimsy blue ones that missionaries carry everywhere. And he'll do a topic just straight from the book. So he says he has a bookshelf of those Book of Mormons for different topics. And his son was like, hey, Dad, I want to read your books because it's filled with notes. And I'm so curious as to what you wrote down and what you got from your study. And Elder Bednar was like, no, you're not reading them. And they're like, what the heck? Why? And he's like, because you have to like learn it for yourself. Just because I tell you something doesn't mean that you're going to get the same impressions that I had from the Spirit. And even if you saw what I wrote down, you're not going to have the witness of the Spirit straight away. You have to find it for yourself. Obviously, they can give guidance and counsel. There's general conference for a reason, but it's so important to do our personal study. But anyway, so the son was like, well, Dad, eventually you're going to die, and I'm just going to read your books anyways. Elder Bednar was like, no, you're not. With my dying breath, I will light a match and put this bookcase with all the books on fire so that you cannot read it. Like, you cannot read my personal journals, basically. And so I think that it just, like, emphasized the point that we can't – it's like the – what was it? The 10 virgins. Mm-hmm. We can't just take from somebody else's oil lamp. Somebody may be so spiritual, but we can't just take from their spiritual notes because it's not going to mean that much to us unless we get it for ourselves.
So to go into the first question that you guys asked is about the role of the Godhead, which is such a great question because the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is very unique in this way that we know that the Godhead, Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost are three separate beings. And I feel like the most precious part about this truth and principle to me is that they're individuals who have a personal relationship, each of them, with me. And that's what they want for every single one of God's children.
Yeah, so obviously Heavenly Father is our Father, the Father of our spirits. And we have a few scriptures that kind of go along with that Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ have bodies of flesh and bone. So in D&C chapter 130, verse 22, it says, the Father has a body of flesh and bones as tangible as man's, and the Son also. But the Holy Ghost has not a body of flesh and bones, but it is a personage of spirit. Were it not so, the Holy Ghost could not dwell within us. So it's very important that we understand the Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ have a body, and the Spirit does not, or he couldn't dwell with us. Some other like scriptures from the New Testament that talk about Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ being different and distinct beings is in Acts chapter 7, verses 55 through 56. And I believe this is Stephen, the prophet who's being stoned at the time.
Stephen?
Stephen, Stephen, whatever we want to call it. So it's like this vision that he has while he's being killed, basically. And he says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. So God in the middle, Jesus on the right hand, separate beings. And obviously also the vision of Joseph Smith where he saw two separate beings.
And for Jesus Christ, of course, we know that he is our Savior and Redeemer, right? The whole reason for our being, for the earth being made for us to dwell on, for all of our experiences, the joy and the sorrow, and the growth that we experience is because of the atonement of Jesus Christ. And he is we're all God's children, but he is the only begotten Son who was specifically chosen for a sacrifice for us. So that one definitely speaks for itself. I don't think that anyone have any disputes on Jesus Christ and his role for us. But the Holy Ghost is a really, really exciting one because I think that even people who believe in the Holy Ghost being their constant companion and the reality of that, we forget. We go through our day-to-day motions of going to work, going to the gym, blah, 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 whatever it may be. And we forget that we have this companion with us all the time. Of course, we have to live worthy of him and his presence. But seriously, it is amazing. In the scripture that was mentioned in D&C 130 earlier, it says that were it not so, if he did have a body, he could not dwell in us. And why is this so important? Because the biggest role of the Holy Ghost is to bear testimony of Jesus Christ and Heavenly Father. And that is the greatest witness. Anyone who's experienced it, the greatest witness you can have ever is from heaven, and it's nothing that comes from this earth.
I actually have a scripture that talks about it not being from this earth as one of the ways that we can recognize the Spirit, because the Spirit is a teacher and a comforter. But it's in John chapter 14, verses 26 to 27, and it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." So it's not going to come from this world. It's not going to come from laying out in the sun or sitting by the beach and feeling some peace, sitting on, laying out, like getting tan.
As peaceful
not
as that
I would know what that's like, but... Yeah, so it's not going to be from this world. So just, like, be aware of how you're feeling and the thoughts that come to you.
So he's a comforter and a teacher, right? Teaches us in all things. God is the epitome of knowledge, honestly. And so that's why it's so amazing coming closer to God and becoming more like him through listening to the Holy Ghost, is because the more knowledge we have and use wisely, the more we become like our Heavenly Father. And he also, the role of the Holy Ghost, gives us the gift of remembrance of a past experience, especially the ones that we hold on to, right? We all go through times in our life where we question what we're doing. I had a moment in my life where I even questioned if God existed. I never thought I would get to that point in my life, but I did. And I was very ashamed of it at the time. But what I held on to was this thought in my mind of, remember me. And I clung to every single time that I could not deny that I felt the Holy Ghost just testify that God was real. And so the gift of remembrance is super powerful and strong, right? Remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. Remember to serve your neighbor. All these little things that the Holy Ghost helps us remember to do.
And the Holy Ghost is also definitely a protector. So he can warn us of things. And I know that some people have questions like, where it's like, oh, was that from Jesus or the Spirit, or was that from me? So here's like a little tidbit of like my personal understanding and how I've learned to differentiate. I'm still learning, but just how that it's helped me and things that I've recognized. So last year, my husband and I were up in Alaska. We were doing a summer job up there. Super fun. But we were trying to figure out when to leave to come back home to Utah. And our original plan was to leave in the very beginning of October, like within the first week. And we had known that sometimes there can be really bad snowstorms in the end of September, early October up in Alaska. But that's just the plan that we had for whatever reason. I can't remember. And I just remember praying about it because I really wanted to be sure that we were going to be safe, that we weren't going to hit a snowstorm on a scary pass or run into a bunch of animals, which on the way down we saw like 5 moose and... We counted 13 bears. It was amazing. But it was dope.
I actually know that.
But after praying about it, I just had like this really strong and distinct feeling that we needed to leave by the 15th of September. I don't know why. And it was never revealed to me that like we could have been in danger or if we had to come back for some specific reason that early. But I just followed it. It was strong. It was distinct. But it was filled with peace. And where I differentiate that, it was later in the year I was going on a girls' trip with some friends to the Christmas markets in Europe. And we've already got it planned. Our tickets are booked. We're about to leave. We're leaving in like 2 or 3 weeks at this point. And I started to feel really scared. I was like, oh my gosh, what if we get kidnapped? Like, that would be so scary. Heavenly Father, like, are we supposed to go? Because if we're not, please tell me, because I don't want to get kidnapped. But I just started to like be filled with a ton of fear and anxiety. And I was wondering for a minute, like, was the Heavenly Father telling me not to go? But then when I was praying about it, again, I was reminded, spirit of remembrance, that in September, because it was in the beginning of September that I got my answer to leave on the 15th of September, but it was filled with peace and it was very direct. There was no anxiety. There was no questioning. There was no fear that was attached to leaving on the 15th. But there was so much fear and anxiety when it came to going to Europe. And I was like, this is not the Spirit. This is not how the Spirit talks to us. So you really got to pay attention to where it comes from and how you're feeling about things, because there is a difference between your thoughts and what's from the Spirit.
Yeah. And one of you brought up that all good things come from God. And that is very true. All good things do come from God. And so I think that a lot of the times we just overthink whether it is from God or ourselves or a friend that put whatever in our that thought in our brain. But really, if you're doing it with a calm and sound mind, you're most likely doing it with the spirit. And something that I probably learned the most on my mission was I learned a lot about agency. God isn't going to tell you every little baby step that he wants you to take, right? He's still going to be there for you. But the whole purpose of life is coming here and not just having agency, which we all have, which is the freedom and the will to choose right and wrong for ourselves, but to use our agency wisely. If you go into the Book of Mormon in 2 Nephi chapter 2 and read verses 25 through 27, those verses are golden, right? They talk about in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, and how much that plays into the plan right now, and how much we get to choose freedom and captivity based on our decisions. And it's all about us becoming more like God, the more that we choose the things that we know Jesus Christ chose when he was on the earth.
Yeah, if you're praying about something and you're not getting an answer, don't try to, there are people that try to kind of make it seem like they got something because they just really want it that bad.
Yeah.
And so that's where the spirit of deception can come in. And you don't want to be deceived. If you're not feeling like you're getting an answer at that point, you just got to make the decision for yourself. And if as long as you're prayerful and you feel like it's the right decision, take a step forward.
Yeah.
You got it.
And I think that I noticed this is something that a lot of other people had before my mission. And I was kind of like, oh, that kind of sucks for you. But I'm learning that this is a new way that God's trying to talk to me as well, which is God doesn't really answer my prayer until I take a step. I have like two decisions before me and I'm asking God which one. And he just doesn't tell me until I choose. And then he's like, yes, that was the right decision. Or you make your decision and it just doesn't feel right. And so you just know it's the other one. And so he's helping us learn to use our agency wisely. And it's such a cool concept to understand that when you see yourself actually growing towards these simple and small acts that lead to becoming like Christ.
All right. Last thought before we move on to how the Holy Ghost speaks to us is that the Holy Ghost is a revelator. So there's a quote by Joseph Smith that says, "No man can receive the Holy Ghost without receiving revelations. The Holy Ghost is a revelator." So you will receive revelations. Be on the lookout for it. And also know that the Spirit can only speak truth. There's a scripture in Jacob 4, verses 13, that says, "For the Spirit speaketh truth and lieth not. Wherefore it speaketh of things as they really are and of things as they really will be." So you can know that as you're taking that step forward, if you feel the Spirit speaking to you, that it's not lying to you. It can only speak truth.
And another really cool factor that I found really prominent in the past year with the Holy Ghost was it is a sanctifier. And that is something that has become super special to me because it's something that I love about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is like when we're baptized, your baptism is not complete and honestly isn't valid without receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost because he is that confirmation that you are sealed to Jesus Christ. And there is no release of you unless you decide. And so that is the way that you're spiritually cleansed is through the Holy Ghost and him sanctifying and purifying you, which is such a beautiful thing.
So next, we're going to talk about how the Holy Ghost speaks to us. So we have a few scriptures here, and then we can talk about how we personally feel the Spirit as well. So one of the scriptures, pretty sure we all know, and it's Galatians 5:22, verse 23. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness and temperance." So those are some things that we can feel when we are filling the Spirit.
And isn't it so interesting how I just noticed it says long suffering and temperance. Like those are not, if you picture yourself being long suffering or temperate, those are not really pretty times in your life. Like you're suffering and you're having moments of just trying patience that are not fun. But because you are actually taking it to heart and you're being meek and you're being humble and you're going to wait it out as long as Heavenly Father wants you to, that is a fruit of the Spirit. It's just
Patience.
Patience and going along with it until you get through it.
And having that, like, you can definitely recognize the difference of when you have the spirit to when you don't. So I know with, like, friends on my mission as companions, or me and my husband, when we're not saying our prayers, reading our scriptures, going to church, serving people, doing the things that invite the spirit, we're way less patient and loving and, mm-hmm. I don't know, long-suffering, less gentle, have less faith. But when we do invite the spirit, we do have joy, peace, patience, gentleness. So also pay attention to the difference that you're feeling when you are doing the things that invite the spirit. But there's another scripture that also talks about how the spirit will enlighten your mind. And it's DNC 11:13. But it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I will impart unto you of my spirit, which shall enlighten your mind and fill your soul with joy. And I feel like I personally feel like the enlightening of the mind pretty often is one of the ways that I feel the spirit. And it usually comes, like, with earlier how she talked about in church, whether it's something that the speaker said that instigated a thought or helped me dive into a deeper understanding of what they were speaking about. But it really does enlighten your mind, and it flows, and it helps you earn greater knowledge and light about God in the gospel.
This scripture is very, very cool because of all of the chaos and confusion that goes on around us. I feel like a lot of the time we get ourselves confused with, sometimes we feel confused and we're like, hey, if I'm confused, I'm not doing the right thing. But that's not true, right? If you are confused, there's a chance that you could be lost. But also, you can still be on the right track and be confused about something that you just don't understand or understand yet. But really, it comes down to that enlightening. If someone shares something with you and you are truly using the gift of discernment, you will be able to feel that that darkening sense that your spirit just rejects when it's not true, or it will be enlightening and it will fill you with, yes, this is true. And that is such a game changer for literally everything that we use, especially with, like, social media and all of the different biases out there. So it is a very, very secure way to go about the way that you find truth.
And usually, as the scriptures say in, like, 1 Kings 19:12, that it was a still small voice, and also in Helaman 5:30, but that it was not a voice of thunder, but it was a voice of perfect mildness, as if it had been a whisper, and piercing even unto the very soul. So you really have to pay attention. Sometimes people have said that they've heard audible voices, which can happen, or you'll have dreams. Those can happen too. They're less common, but again, they can happen. So you just really have to pay attention to the thoughts and feelings that you're having, and remember to be prayerful about that.
And then one other thing that I think people can kind of get confused about is when someone else hears a spirit in a different way than you do. And that's just something we all have to learn. The spirit is it's a new language that we have to constantly be learning, because for some reason, before my mission, the Lord spoke to me in such different ways than he does now. There are some of the ways that he still talks to me, like through music, is always has been a strong suit of mine to feel a spirit that I can just count on. But other ways I used to feel the spirit before my mission have completely changed, and I've just been thrown like curveballs. But God is just trying to teach me other ways and more things about him and who he is and how he operates.
It really is like learning a language. And we'll definitely, again, go over the exercise that we have, because it is so helpful in understanding how God speaks to you specifically. Because some people might hear an audible voice more often, where others feel it in their heart and others feel it in their mind. I feel like everybody experiences all of them to just different varying degrees or levels. Like, she might feel it more through music than I do, and I do once in a while. And I might feel it more as thoughts, and she doesn't that often. So we're all going to feel these things, because it's from the scriptures. It's how it says that we're going to feel it. But just from the scriptures, take, oh, this is the one that really speaks to me personally, because God knows us personally and he wants us to be able to understand. So he's going to speak to you how you understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not that you can't learn the other ways, right? We're all born with spiritual gifts, some stronger than others, but nowhere by any means is saying in the scriptures that we can't grow and
that we're only stuck with one.
Yeah, precisely.
But anyway, so once you do learn to recognize the spirit, you need to obey the spirit. If you start getting spiritual promptings and you're like, oh, that's a nice thought, goodbye, it's going to leave you. Like, it'll still be there for like big things when you are being good or when you invite it back. But if you're continually ignoring the spirit,
he's not going to talk to you.
Yeah. But there's a quote by, well, a memory by John Taylor that about something that Joseph Smith had said to him. But it says, Elder Taylor, you have been baptized and you have had hands laid upon your head for the reception of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you will continue to follow the leadings of that spirit, it will always lead you right. Sometimes it might be contrary to your judgment, but never mind that. Follow its dictates. And if you be true to its whisperings, it will in time become a principle of revelation so that you will know all things. And I just really wanted to touch on the sometimes it might be contrary to our judgment. Because there's sometimes that we're going to get spiritual promptings that stretch us outside of our comfort zone or just straight up don't make sense. But there was something that I learned from a book, and it's called The Peter Potential by Emily Bell Freeman and David Butler, which honestly, it's an amazing book. Only took me an hour to read. Go read it. But it was a really cool thought about doing what it is that God wants you to do and always following it, even if it doesn't make sense. Because in it, it talks about how when Jesus was teaching the multitude in Mark 6, that when it says, when the day was far spent and the time far past, that the apostles came to Jesus and asked him to send them away so that they could get food. And Jesus said to them, give ye them to eat. But they complained that they didn't have the money to feed the multitude. So Jesus then says, how many loaves have ye? And the disciples probably thinking, not enough for this many people. But, you know, they did as Jesus asked. They go out and they ask the multitude how many they have. And they ended up coming up with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But the disciples are probably thinking like, see, I knew that wouldn't be enough. There's 5,000 people here. 2 of us can eat this. But Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and he looked up in heaven and blessed and broke the loaves. And the disciples then took the food and distributed it to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, a multitude of 5,000 people. So generally, if we were sitting there with Jesus and he's like, hey, there's a multitude of 5,000 people and we're going to feed them with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You like,
Jesus, you're crazy.
Like, logically, that doesn't make sense. It wouldn't make sense. And so we're going to be like, yeah, right. No, like this was Jesus speaking to them, but Jesus now speaks to us through the Spirit. So that's what we have to listen to. But sometimes the solution to our problems is not always the obvious solution. Sometimes you're going to think about it, you're going to pray about it, and you're going to have this inkling that, sorry, no, that's not it, this is. And you're going to be like, what? I don't think so. But sometimes the solutions to our problems are miracles. And we have to believe that miracles are today because they are. God has not stopped doing miracles. God is a God of miracles and one who makes the impossible possible. So we need to have that belief that not only it can happen to other people, but that it can happen to us. And just some thoughts that I wrote down after I read that, I was like, holy cow, we really do need to do what it is that he wants us to do, even if it doesn't make sense. But what I wrote was, what is it that he wants you to do? When we accept every invitation to follow his voice, are we allowing him to show us what we are capable of through him? So with every commandment, with every prompting, whether it's easy and doable, or whether it scares us and seems impossible, or whether it makes sense or not, trust him and do what he knows that you can do. And I just thought that was really cool and something that we really do need to take into consideration to always obey the Spirit.
Yeah, the more that we obey the Spirit, right, the more that God is going to trust us, to give us responsibility. And honestly, that responsibility is such a privilege.
So once we figured out how God speaks to us and we're willing to obey, whether it's big or small, makes sense or not, we do need to have like a word of caution, because we really do need to stay in our lane when it comes to receiving revelation and following promptings of the Spirit. So prophet of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the only person that can receive revelation for the church as a whole. Like, for me and myself, nobody else can receive revelation for me. My husband, nobody can tell him what to do with our family. And so you really need to remember that if it's not in your lane, or if it is contrary to the commandments of God and doing good and right, then it's probably not from God. There's a quote from Joseph Smith that where he warned that nothing is a greater injury to the children of men to be under the influence of a false spirit when they think that they have the spirit of God. So again, just be careful, be smart, and prayerful.
Just paying attention to literally everything everybody says. Ask the spirit if it's for you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Finally, for our squats, our jumping jacks, and our planks, we're not going to do that. But we are going to do our spiritual exercise now that Reagan and I have tested and works. It really does.
So this exercise, again, was given to, well, wasn't given, an institute teacher that had invited his students to try this. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Me and Savannah need to do it. And so here's what it is. So first it goes over the different voices that a healthy mind hears. So first is your own voice. And your own voice will ask questions, it will debate, it will doubt, analyze, it's unsure. It usually references me or I. So for example, I think I'm in trouble, I'm hungry, why is this happening to me? It's not sure. And then the voice of the spirit always leads to do good. It leads to believe in Christ. It rarely asks questions, but it flows and it's a clear concept and thought that is enlightening and brings peace. So for example, don't do that, go to church. Help your spouse with the dishes, sit by that person who sits alone, read your scriptures.
Yeah, it's pray. More like direct. It's more like turn left, do this, do that, instead of like, I shouldn't really, You know what I'm saying? So it's just a little bit more like cuts to the chase kind of thing. And also just to like stress, like questions are not bad. Having questions are really, really good. And actually the thing that has strengthened my personal relationship the very most with Jesus Christ is me asking further questions about, oh my gosh, wow, I found this out in the scriptures and it led to a deeper meaning that I didn't know was there before.
It helps us ask inspired questions that lead us to learn more and deepen our knowledge. And then it goes over the voice of the devil or temptation, which is usually appealing to the flesh, our pride, our vanity, and usually contrary to righteous promptings, and they are tailor-made for us because Satan knows exactly what it is that's going to get us to make us slip up. And so he knows exactly what that is, and he's going to come after you with that. So an example that he gave is that most of us in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on Fast Sunday have we most likely experienced. And that is that you're sitting in church and you hear the Spirit say, go bear your testimony. And all of a sudden the spirit of evil or temptation comes in and he's like, why do you need to bear your testimony? You'll just cry and nobody even cares what you think. What you have to share is stupid. Just sit back down.
Self-criticism is not from Jesus Christ.
And then your voice cuts in and you're like, oh my gosh, what should I do? Was that from the spirit or was that from me? I'm confused. That kind of gives like a decent example of how it kind of worked.
And she also covered another principle that the Holy Ghost is 90% of the time the one that is the first voice in your head. And then the second ones are the doubters, whether the adversary or yourself.
Yeah. That's how I found it with myself. Maybe you find it something different, but generally for at least me, sounds like her too, it's usually the first thought that comes. And I really have to pay attention to that, which can be hard. So I wrote this down, I put it on my wall. And then he says that for a week or two, or however long you decide to do it, I think a week is a good amount of time, but if you want to do it longer, do it. But basically, every single time that you receive a prompting, whether you use a notebook or the notes in your phone, write it down. And then at the end of the day, go back and look and see, like, did I follow this prompting? What happened? Whose lives were changed? Did I feel the spirit? Did I feel happy because I followed the prompting? If I didn't, what happened? What were the consequences? And being able to like look at each thing and be like, holy cow, I did know what was right that time, or I knew not to do that, but I did it anyways. So it just kind of helps you to keep track of exactly what happened so that you can look back, and it's like learning a language. You just got to kind of figure it out as you go along. But you will find, and this is a promise that he gave, and I testify that it is true because it was so amazing, that he says that you will receive dozens of revelations every day and you will have known the right decision every single time. Whether you followed it or not, at the end of the day, you're going to be like, I knew that that was wrong, or I knew that that was right. So again, do that for as long as you want to by trying to remember the different voices and how they speak to us, and then paying attention to what happened when you heard them and how you acted.
And the more that I found that I wrote down my promptings, the more I actually received. And maybe it's a mixture of both. Maybe I did receive a little bit more, but I think I also paid attention more, so I thought that I was receiving more. But in and of itself, you're hearing the spirit more often. And it's just, it's so cool, and I promise it works. And if you are wanting more promptings, I think the fastest one that always gets answered for me is when I want to when I ask the Lord to bring someone into my life that I can serve. If you're asking to serve, that prayer is going to get answered the very quickest.
That's very true. Like, when you're asking and particularly looking and listening for the Spirit, not only will you hear it more just because you're listening, but because you're actively trying to obey. If that's your goal, you will get more. And so becoming more like God and being able to follow His promptings is going to bring miracles. It's going to bring greater happiness, peace, joy. It's so worth it. Like, when we did this, I was on such a spiritual high. It was amazing. Just being able to learn and differentiate the different voices that we have. And honestly, do it again. Like, I've done it a couple times since then where I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm having a hard time remembering how to differentiate the voices. Do it again. Write it down. And it definitely helps.
I think that one of the greatest gifts that does come with following the Spirit and just the Spirit's role in general is the peace that He offers us because of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father designed this amazing plan for us. Jesus Christ is our advocate, and the Holy Ghost is the deliverer of the truth that Jesus Christ is real and our purpose on earth. And no matter what happens, you are eternal and you have so much more to life than meets the eye, and you're a child of God, and you have so much more to look forward to after this life. So every time that I find myself in a pickle or wondering what I should do with my life or a certain decision, the peace that comes is something that literally can't be found anywhere else, like John 14:27 says. So put that peace to the test, honestly. Like, pray for it, ask for it, and it will come. Well, we hope that we answered all of your questions. If you have any other topics that you would like us to cover, we would absolutely love to study them for ourselves and then share what we have found with you. Please comment your thoughts or your own ways that the Spirit talks to you.
Yeah. Oh, so for next time, we are going to be talking about the character of God. So if you want to study with us before we get there, or just know that that's what's coming, you can be prepared.
That is all for the Milk and the Meats podcast today. And we will see you next time.